There's a thousand pretty women living out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Katz with the Dish. I'm John Katzalamidas. I write the Katz Report for the Las Vegas Sun, Las Vegas Weekly, and I write for all of the Greenspun Media Group titles. Welcome on the phone, the beautiful Tricia McCrone.
Hello, I thought that I'd be there live this week.
Well, you're live. You got half of it accomplished. You're there live. You're in Montana still.
I am.
How is it?
Just for a few more hours.
You'll, by the time this airs, you will actually be back in Las Vegas.
I will, yeah.
Yes.
For the big holiday weekend.
Right. Coming in on, some serious, you're coming into a weekend. We have two of our major shows closing, within 3 nights of each other. We got Viva Elvis is performing its last night tonight, which is Friday night. And then we have the final night of Phantom Las Vegas Spectacular on Sunday. So, yeah, kind of a bittersweet Labor Day weekend happening here in Vegas.
Crazy, huh?
You were, if I have this right, you were a big fan of Phantom. Wasn't Phantom one of your favorite shows in town, did she?
I really enjoyed it, yes, I did. I really liked it. Although, I'm a Broadway musical girl, so I love that Phantom was here for as long as it was. I love that Jersey Boys is here. And So, it's sad because I love... And it's a lot of people that are going to be working some of the few shows that has live orchestra, and it's
that is sad.
It's a show with hard workers.
A lot of people are looking for work in Las Vegas who play instruments right now. sad to say, but they always shows open, and that's just the cycle of life, as they once said in another show that closed, Lion King.
That's true.
And we've got, I will have gone to New York, Dishy, to see Zarkana.
Yeah, that's why we're recording early here.
We're a little off.
Tell me what is going on in New York.
It's Zarkana is the show that's coming in for Viva Elvis at Radio City Music Hall. And we're going
to... Yes, you know what? My family went to go see it in New York, there at Radio City, a few months back, it's been a while now because I've been here a few months, but and they said it's phenomenal. They said it was incredible.
Yeah, I've heard technically speaking, it's the most advanced of all the Cirque shows ever. So we'll see what they're planning to bring into Aria there, and we're still on target to have another Cirque show, of course, over at Mandalay Bay. The Jackson show will be in place by the end of the year.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, so we'll have eight Cirque du Soleil shows to catch up with. When you get back.
Wow, that's a lot.
Are you looking forward to getting back here?
I can't believe summer's over. You get into the mode. I'm a little nervous about getting back, I got to be honest, because you get into sort of this very laid-back Montana mentality, and, you're by the lake, you kind of wake up, you have your coffee leisurely, and, everything is very fast-paced in Vegas, so it's going to be a little adjustment period for me.
Yeah, I can just imagine. I was up in Idaho, as you know, for just a few days not long ago, and I had a tough time gearing down and gearing up again. So, it'll come naturally to you.
I'll jump in with both feet like I always do.
Humans adapt. Well, let's get to our guest. I've got lined up here someone who we're both very fond of. It's Lon Bronson of the Lon Bronson All Star Band, who's moving to Friday nights beginning next week at Ovation at Green Valley Ranch. So stick around. I know I will.
Viva Las Vegas. Hello, this is Brody Dolanek, and you are listening to Katz with the Dish. Alrighty then.
Yes! Yeah!
I am going on a date. And I'm gonna date people.
That's great.
Yes?
Yeah. No, Jess, please don't cry again. Good for you.
Doesn't bother you.
No.
That's Rashida Jones and Andy Samberg in the romantic comedy Celeste and Jesse Forever. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Although it debuted at the Sundance Film Festival earlier this year, Celeste and Jesse often feels like a mainstream romantic comedy awkwardly stuffed into a low-key indie dramedy. Jones and Samberg have plenty of experience playing broad comedy, and flashes of that goofiness come through in their generally down-to-earth performances as a divorcing couple having trouble letting go of their connection to each other. The movie is sometimes quite funny and sometimes quite affecting, but almost never at the same time, and those pieces don't fit together as well as they should. I give Celeste and Jesse Forever 2.5 stars out of 5. Also opening this week are two worthwhile movies in limited release. In the sci-fi dramedy Robot and Frank, Frank Langella plays a retired cat burglar who teams up with his mechanized healthcare aide to get back into the heist game. It's a low-key, sedate story about aging and obsolescence. It's sweet and agreeably unambitious, derailed only by an egregious third-act twist. I give Robot and Frank 3 stars out of 5. The Imposter is the rare documentary that's able to build tension and suspense from laying out a series of already known facts. Director Bart Layton delivers an assured, engrossing debut about a French con artist who managed to successfully impersonate a missing Texas teenager, at least for a few months. I give The Imposter 3.5 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and online at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Joining me now is the founder of one of the top bands in Las Vegas for the past 2 decades, Alon Bronson All-Star Band. The band has been a favorite among locals in Las Vegas since first performing on Monday nights at the Riviera's Le Bistro Theater on September 7th, which is a week from today. The band begins playing Friday nights each week at Ovation at Green Valley Ranch. Welcome back to the show, Alon Bronson.
Hey, John. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Tell me about, I'm a big fan of you guys, as you know.
Thank you.
I'm always hanging around.
Thank you.
You were playing the second and fourth Thursdays, right, at Ovation.
That's what it evolved into.
Yes, most recently. And then the decision has been made to move you all the way to Friday on every Friday of the month.
Luckily for us, yeah.
Luckily for us. It seems a pretty simple switch, but there are some there's some challenges for you guys. Why did you make the change, first of all?
Well, it was offered to me, and actually, when I first talked to Judy Alberti, who, of course, is queen of all stations entertainment, and an excellent judge of character, I might add, she wanted me originally to do every Thursday at Green Valley Ranches, and that's how we started. Then the big recession hit,
right,
and that knocked everybody out of the box, and we went down to one Thursday.
Okay,
and then when that slowly came back, I think about 2 years ago, we went to every other Thursday, and I kind of like wanted that.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed like it was working. There was less stress about filling that room on a weekly basis.
Right.
But things have been going so well, and the crowds have been so strong that I think it's a perfect match. It's like they realized that. I realized it, and they offered me Fridays, and I said, you know, I'm not so apprehensive now about every week.
Right.
Because that's a big room.
It is.
You know, if you compare that to like the Palms Lounge, that's like 3 Palms Lounges.
Yeah. It seats between 400 and 500,
yeah,
I think.
It does.
Ovation does, yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
and it's also, it's a visual thing. You put 100 people in there and it looks empty.
Right.
You know, and so you really have to do well. You got to get a fair amount of people in there for it to look good.
Yeah.
So I just got to the point when they offered me the Fridays, I thought, you know what? I think we should go for it. We did once a week for about a decade at the Le Bistro, as you pointed out. And even that at one point went to 3 nights a week. One point in the late 90s, we were doing Friday, Saturday, and Monday. Mm-hmm. And that was too much. Because it's a lot to mount a show that big with that many people, and it's always a different show, as you know.
Right,
I try and vary the song list.
Yeah, you do not do the same set list each time.
Ever. And that's I think true. That's part of the reason people, you know, will come back and see it time and time again. But 3 times was too much. 2 times at the Golden Nugget was too much.
Mm-hmm.
I think once a week is perfect.
Right.
Now, so it's the Three Bears dilemma.
Right. Do you like hearing that? Just Right Saloon. The band is about 15 members, right, at its core?
It floats between 14 and 16 if you include our lovely dancer, Amy.
Yeah, and then you got vocalists in there. Tony Davich, who goes around to a lot of different bands.
We all love him. Amazing vocalist.
Yeah, great vocalist. How does this requirement, the new responsibility of being on stage together weekly on a different night change what we're going to see on stage?
Actually, it's going to change in a really good way because another favorite of yours, I would say would be a safe bet to make, is Nina D.
Yeah,
and absolutely. She's going to be there on a regular basis. Now, I'm going to make that a permanent chair, if you will, in band lingo.
Though she won't be
No, she won't be sitting in any way, shape, or form.
This is Nina D. Gregorio, one of the great violin, classical and electric violinists.
And leader of Bella Electric Strings.
Bella Electric Strings.
So we're going to have her there every week, and then we're going to try and have the full Bella Electric string section, which is four strings, twice a month now.
Oh, wow.
So actually, we're growing, and it's a little easier to have the core and plus even these additional people because we're starting a little bit later. We're starting at 10:30.
As opposed to 9 now.
Yeah,
right?
See, 9 o'clock was always an issue because there were people coming from certain shows that simply couldn't make it. Like if Jimmy Max and Jersey Boys, he's not going to make it at 9 o'clock.
The great guitarist, Jimmy Max.
Amazing guitarist.
And he'd always show up. Those types of performers would show up in the second set.
And they would come for the second set. Well, now I don't have that dilemma anymore. Now I can have everybody kicking off at 10:30. Plus, like I said, I mean, amazingly, twice a month, we'll have a four-piece string section with us.
This is a great thing. Is there going to be a cover charge for this?
No, absolutely not.
It's a free show, unbelievably. How does Station afford you guys
I'm just
a month?
Crossing my fingers that Stations keeps with this policy because they're really the last corporation to be doing this in Vegas. And you know the story. We've had this conversation a million times. It's the way Vegas used to be. Mm-hmm. In our opinion, it's the way Vegas should be. Free lounge shows and charge for the alcohol, obviously, but give the show away. And I really think it's come down to, at this point, the only really functional lounges are at Stations now. Everything else is kind of like a little closet that, you know, you might have a duo playing at. It's not really a lounge anymore. If not, it's like the Palms where they're now charging covers.
Yeah, it's not a truly free lounge experience. It does.
Well, if you charge the cover plus you charge $12 for a glass of wine, I'm sorry, I'm old school Vegas. I just think that is the worst thing you could possibly do.
Right. Does the hotel keep all of the bar take?
Absolutely.
In this instance. So that's their.
Stations does it right. They give us a guarantee, and then they get the bar tab. And they also get, obviously, a lot of my people, especially, are going out and gambling. They get that old Vegas thing that you're drawing people in that necessarily would not have been there otherwise, and they're going to go out and play some slots afterwards. All of them go out and eat afterwards, absolutely.
Right.
And a lot of them head out, once they shut down our bar, they go over to the sports bar right next door. So they get that. That all equals or equates our salary.
They know, and this is true, and it's true at Ovation, and it's true also at the Palms, and the nights I go there, for another example, that the people who are there absolutely would not be in the hotel at that time for any other reason. So you can quantify the value there. And there's also the fact that you are investing in what makes a city great, which is, in my view, great live entertainment. Which is why I support it the way I do. I try to. And folks, if you want to see, it's never less than terrific when you see the Lon Bronson All-Star Band wherever they are. And this is the new haunt. So I will put that out there.
Much appreciated.
I put my I walk the walk too. I'm there a lot.
You are there a lot, John. I have to say, I love to see you there.
Yeah, I get out there and groove it up a little bit. Tell me about you're also involved with David Perico and Pop Evolution. And that's another horn-driven band, or horn, I guess horn-driven is the way to describe this.
Except I'd say that he's more horny.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's actually got a full big band.
Yeah.
But I shouldn't say big band, large band.
Mm-hmm.
Because he and I have had the conversation many times.
What's
about
the difference?
Well, if you call it
something.
If you call it a big band, automatically most people's connotation of that is Glenn Miller and Harry James. Oh, it's a big band, and we're going to go and we're going to do ballroom dancing.
Really?
And absolutely, for most people, that is the connotation. So he's, you know, very intelligently gone about calling it Pop Evolution Orchestra, 18-piece band. He won't call it big band for that very reason.
Okay.
Because he does have, though, five saxes, three bones, four trumpets plus him. That's five trumpets, two guitars. I mean, it's massive.
Yeah, it is. It's a
massive band.
It's a big band in pure numbers, yeah. But maybe not in everybody's definition. And I always get tripped up in covering entertainment in the city about how to describe bands. You know, we have like in Vegas, the show that Jerry Lopez has put together what he calls a bandistra, which I think is 11 pieces. Mm-hmm. And then there are 15 or 16 pieces in bands like yours in Santa Fe, which you don't know if that. And then when does an orchestra begin? At what point does something become an orchestra and not a band?
Orchestra definitely infers strings. If right. you say orchestra, I think it would infer, you know, having a string section.
So it could be an 18 or 20 piece orchestra if you have a string section.
If I got Bella with me, I guess it's DeLon Bronson orchestra.
Which I've called it before, actually.
Which it's not that's a bad thing. It's just that, you know, we're such a rock band, really.
Yeah.
That when you say that, then you got to say rockestra mm-hmm. or something like that, because otherwise people, again, will get the wrong connotation of, oh, are we going to go and hear Brahms, you know? You know, no, you're going to hear Led Zeppelin.
People coming in expecting to hear Brahms yeah. or Glenn Miller are going to be in for a rude awakening.
Yeah, sadly, they're going to be disappointed.
What's this comfortably numb all about?
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But luckily for us, I'm really happy to report that we've kind of evolved from a place where our audience was solely entertainment community to now it's a really cool mixture of entertainment community and civilians, if you will, mm-hmm. non-entertainers.
Commoners.
Yeah. Well, that's your choice of words.
I'm out there. I'll call us commoners.
But I really like that because I really think we have a base, and it's another reason why we're able to make this change to Friday, mm-hmm. because we do have this base of fans that are more or less, you know, willing to follow us wherever we go and on what night. Mm-hmm. At whatever time.
Right.
Whereas if it's the entertainment crowd solely, of course, you're locked into, if you start at such and such time, I've got my show until such and such time, and that sort of thing.
Over the course of time since I've known you, Lon, you've been there's been a high measure of skepticism about the entertainment scene in Las Vegas, some of it because of the natural, you know, economic challenges we've had in the city, some of it because of the evolution of how the resort industry has grown into more of a corporate attitude. Today, now that you're going into this this agreement with stations, it seems to be pretty old school. Are you more optimistic that we might be returning to some form of the old model here in Las Vegas, the old business model, where, you know, there will be less requirement and less pressure on the act to subsidize itself completely, that the hotel will help do that?
I gotta say, absolutely not.
Really?
Unfortunately, I hate to name names, but there are two certain corporations that make up 90% of the city, and that's their MO. Mm-hmm. They simply do not want to pay for lounge entertainment. They're on the track to never, ever pay for lounge entertainment, or at least it, in the form that we're describing,
you know,
where you mm-hmm. actually have something worth going to see because you've paid for that. There's just too much money to be made elsewhere in nightclubs and mm-hmm. restaurants that they really just can't see having a lounge be a little bit of a loss and having that entertainment and not being able to show any kind of gain directly from that piece of real estate for that amount of time.
Right.
And I honestly don't see the big two changing their minds. They certainly haven't shown any signs of that. And the reason stations is in the other camp is because they're mostly catering to locals. Mm-hmm. So they understand that you have to do that for the locals. You know, right. That's the smart thing to do to cater to locals.
Right.
But the big two, you know, GM and Ford, I'm not naming any names.
You don't have to.
They don't want to do
it. And being positioned in kind of, you know, I'm kind of at the, you know, at the wheel of this issue where, you know, I see shows in lounges all the time, but they are not lounge shows. By the strictest definition, this is something I've written about, like Taylor Hicks they brought into Indigo Lounge. Indigo Lounge is a lounge.
Right.
Over at Bally's.
Right.
And they refitted the lounge space to come across as a showroom and charged for Taylor Hicks's performances over the summer. And they made money out of the lounge that way.
What were they charging?
$39.
Ouch.
$29.39 for Hicks. And it seats in that configuration about 200. roughly in that range.
Well, I mean, if you're a name, Taylor's a name, you know, Michael Grimm's a name, I can see charging a small cover.
Is that a bad use of a lounge space, do you think?
Not in Michael's instance, no. I think actually Michael's a bona fide star, mm-hmm. you know, absolutely after winning America's Got Talent for sure. And but I believe his cover is like $10.
Now, I think it's five.
That's to me, five, that's two, super reasonable. Again, mm-hmm. you know, they're getting it right. I think charging $39, I mean, that's a lot of money for a name that maybe isn't that big.
Yeah, I think it's comparable to, you know, it's a national TV contest show winner.
Right.
You know? And we've also had the instance talking about the lounge turnover and nightclubs of when Hyde came into Bellagio and replaced the Fontana Lounge, which a lot of people like, and Diane Diaz was left out, and her band, who had been around forever.
Oh, they had a lot of great acts in that showroom.
Yeah, they had over time.
I'm sorry, lounge.
Yeah. Some people went in there and didn't want to call it a lounge anymore, but it was a lounge overlooking the water. And the model is that why should we take that valuable space? It is one of the choice spots in the city on the strip overlooking the fountain show at the Bellagio and allow people to just sit in there for free when we could. And then they brought in an SBE group and partnered in and built a nightclub, Hyde, which is beautiful. For a nightclub, it's great. You know, are you just fighting City Hall here when that kind of thing happens?
When it comes to the big two, yeah. As I said, that's mm-hmm. exactly the place they've gotten to. You know, that's their attitude, and you can't argue with them from a financial perspective.
Have you ever been in talks with any of the big ones, yourself, the band?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we Golden Nugget wouldn't have counted for that, but actually when they got taken over by Landry's a little bit. And then I was up for being at the Fontana Room when we left the Riviera in 2003.
Right.
Yeah, they pursued me, and we actually went and did an audition. And see, this is the whole thing. I mean, unlike, again, how Stations operates, I think at that particular company, was that Ford or GM? I can't remember. You have to go through
Chrysler.
The okay of about six or so suits mm-hmm. before you can get the okay. So the entertainment director at the time loved us, wanted us, said, we're going to make this your lounge. We want you here all the time. Jimmy Hopper had left.
Right.
They were looking for
mm-hmm.
someone to fill. I'm like, okay, but you got to come in. You got to have an audition. So in an empty room, us, and, you know, visually, without Amy there, you're looking at some maybe not so pretty middle-aged guys. One suit in particular came down to see this ridiculous daytime audition, looked at us and said, nah. Because
had the suit heard you play?
No. And I'm hoping you'll back me up on this. If you were to see us in a vacuum, you're not getting half of what we produce on stage at night with a crowd, with the whole shebang.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's very difficult to do a dry audition with no audience in daylight. I mean, it was just ridiculous. You can't show people really what you're doing.
Right.
And so, long story short is, one suit, that's all it takes.
You know what you have to do is you have to bring the mountain to Muhammad in these cases and take those directors to your gig.
But impossible.
Sorry, Dave Perico, big band. You can't bring them in the middle of a daylight situation into a soundstage type environment.
You can't.
And feel what you feel.
You can't.
And especially when you look at and you don't see, you know, the visual quality. Not everybody's in the same suit or whatever the reason is. Without hearing what they do, it's not the vibe that they're looking for.
Right. And sadly, the same aforementioned suits pretty much won't come out at night, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're still making the decisions on entertainment, but they won't come out at 10:30 at night and see a band.
I get asked all the time, and I'm not kidding these days, by people who are in those types of positions about entertainment in Las Vegas all the time.
I bet.
Because they don't have their feet on the ground anymore. And I mean, it happens, I'm not kidding, on a weekly basis where people hit me up and ask about one thing or another who are in position to make and enact change at big resorts. And you know, I don't know if that's supposed to be our role here, but, you know, I write what I write, and then that kind of, you know, helps balance the field a little bit.
Well, the process may be wrong, but I'm glad they're asking you.
I don't know. I'm glad they're asking me too, because it makes me feel so important. Let's talk about, I want to ask you a little bit about, I don't want to make a big deal about this deal, but it was something we've talked about informally, and that was the David Cassidy event.
Ah.
You've got
oh,
some,
yes, David.
Yeah, you've got a lot of history with him from the period of time when he was at the Rio.
Well, right? I was his musical director for almost 10 years.
Right, and had toured with him. And the problem he had over a few months ago over at the South Point, was that blown out of proportion in your estimation? This is where he got into a running dialogue and was apparently addled in some unnatural way and ended up having to apologize and has offered to, as a make good, do a charity show over there at the South Point. That's the nugget of the story.
He offered the charity show, and I believe they turned him down, if I'm not mistaken.
What has happened is, I said, we don't have any dates until a year from July, I think it's 17th. So I have to call the South Point back at that point and see if they have opened it. They didn't turn it down out of hand, but they didn't accept it out of hand either.
They were probably just being politically correct. My take on this is that I was surprised that it took this long for anyone to actually write about it or notice it publicly. Because, mm-hmm. it's actually, I witnessed the same sort of thing numerous, mm-hmm. numerous times. And as I told you, the odd part about the story is that in response to that, after that little bit of a mini firestorm here and possibly nationally, his response to that was he fired his agent. And so I've actually, the agent, I actually hooked those two guys up back in 2000. They've been working off and on since then, up until recently, about a few weeks ago. And I've been in talks with him actually about the symphonic rock show with Brody.
Yeah. Oh, and that's another thing. Yeah, you played that last Friday, a week ago.
I was lucky enough to conduct
terrific,
it.
Terrific time there at the Smith Center.
That was wild, huh?
Wasn't it? Yeah. I mean, that I've known Brody for many, many years. And I think, as I wrote in that instance, it was probably his finest moment, certainly here in Las Vegas ever.
I just would like to see that happen more often. And not to digress, but as far as what we did there, I saw the only negative comment somebody tried to make was they said, well, isn't that a cover band? And I go, well, yeah, we're doing covers, but what's a Pops orchestra? Mm-hmm. What is any symphony if you go to see it? They're covering music from 200 years ago.
It's not original music.
They're the atypical mm-hmm. cover band.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was very minuscule amount of resistance, but I just thought I had to address it because when you think about it, what we're doing there in that particular instance is so cool. I'd like to see something like that at the Smith Center 5-6 times a year. Orchestra?
I would think that if it could be, you know, coordinated properly, I think that Brody probably could.
He wants to do it.
Do that on a monthly or bi-monthly basis.
And it was sold out. Mm-hmm. And the beautiful thing about Brody and Yellow Brick Road is that, you know, he could do one show, the music of Queen. The next time,
oh, yeah.
The music
mm-hmm.
of Pink Floyd. Mm-hmm. And again, for those of you out there that consider that a cover thing, let's be real. The music of Bach, the music of Mozart, mm-hmm. it's all cover, baby.
Yep.
It's just a matter of how many years are separating us.
That's an excellent point.
And nobody does it better than Brody. And I got to say that I was so honored to be standing on that stage conducting that particular group of musicians. They were outstanding. Yeah. And you tell me, I mean, didn't it sound fabulous?
It was great. It was really great. I've seen the one variation of that before that show, and it was awesome. And I hope they do keep bringing it back, because I think the people in Las Vegas, especially those who remember Yellow Brick Road and still do see Yellow Brick Road without Brody, with Kelly Christian and doing the vocals, are really happy about it. And I was glad to see them turn out.
2,000 plus.
Clean up and turn out in a lot of cases. All right, Lon Bronson. Lon Bronson of the Lon Bronson All-Star Band. Beginning next Friday, September 7th, on Fridays at Ovation at Green Valley Ranch, 10:30 p.m. Admission is free. Check it out. It gets my stamp, man, and I'll see you there. Thanks, Lon.
Thanks, John.